I mean, I'll ask you first of all, just as a courtesy, and this is and nothing. I'm not taking a shot at Dave or anything, but I feel obligated to ask you. You have no problems with the way you were quoted in the column, I presume?
Well, no, because you know, some this was in reference to summer discussions, and was in there is. I mean, we didn't discuss anything about these AB bonuses here.
Okay.
But he told me that he got that from someone else. So.
Okay.
And just to clarify that, Mitch did get B bonuses.
He did get B, I'm sorry.
Yes. And he, but the extended B they didn't do for him, which they did for Austin. But
okay.
Those are usually, these are unattainable. These are bonuses that are for, for many of the league awards.
Right.
So, that's what I was referring to as doing a favor, which was during the summer negotiations.
Fair enough. Great. Thank you very much for clarifying that.
No problem.
I guess my first question is, when you talked about the Leafs lowballing Mitch.
Yeah.
I mean, our understanding is that you haven't been negotiating in season, that has come at Mitch's request.
Correct. See, the discussion was about the early goings of the contract. And that during that time, like every team, they lowball a player, which is normal negotiations, where they would give you a lowball offer and you come back with your, where you think your player should be slotted. And again, it's a normal course of negotiations. And every team is different in how they conduct their negotiations, and that's their way, is they come in and try to get the best value. Kyle wants the best value he can get, and at the same time I want to protect my client and do the best job I can to get him the most money, and that he's really worked hard at achieving, and where he's fairly valued. I think in this case these are prior, like the discussion that we had for this article was in reference to the summer.
Okay.
Where things started off, and since then, let me tell you that things are positive. The dialogue's positive. The discussions are going in the right direction since that date. We're not far off when we left off a while ago. We last ended it on a positive note. Kyle agreed with me to wait till the end of the season, which was, Mitch's desire to wait, and if it couldn't get done, he didn't want the distraction during the season. He just wanted to play, help his team get into playoffs, and hopefully win a Stanley Cup.
So were there negotiations during, at the early part of this season? Like, did you have some dialogue
You know what? There was always discussions, and you're always, regardless of waiting to get down to the brass tacks at the end of the season, we're always discussing the market and different scenarios that are within the industry, both with the team and even with my constituents. I do it all the time, and you're always watching everything that's going on. You're always watching, how the market's moving, and the communication is always there. It's not like, hey, you know what? Talk to you later. See you at the end of the season. And that's not the case at all. You're always having, very friendly banter back and forth and discussions, but nothing that we're going to sit down, hey, let's hash out a deal and here's what it is. So, but I can tell you that everything has been positive. The dialogue's been positive. The discussions have been going, as I said, in the right direction. And Mitch will be a Leaf for a long time. And I'm sure that everything will work out.
Yeah, because I was going to say, I was just wondering. I mean, I would think the offer the Leafs make now, if the Leafs were to make an offer, look, the market's developed. It's not the summer anymore. They've got Nylander done. They've got Matthews done. I mean, my initial reaction was, what constitutes a lowball offer in the summer, that maybe it's changed in season. And I guess that kind of leads to the next question. I know Mitch has said he doesn't want to negotiate this year or during the season.
Correct.
I'm sorry. But, the Leafs have got these other two deals done. If Kyle Dubas picked up the phone today and said, look, Darren, let's get this done, why wouldn't you jump at that?
Yeah, I'll never say never that that wouldn't happen. But at, right now, we both agreed that at the end of the year that, hey, we would have a constructive discussion to continue where we left off. And you know, it's better he focuses. And it's unfortunate that, you know, all this came up. And I know Dave isn't responsible for his headline, but that I think the headline is misleading. And I just don't think that is the situation right now. And it doesn't really reflect on the relationship that Mitch has with his team.
Yeah, because I was going to say, yeah. You know, when I read that headline, I thought, man, if you don't want, you know, Mitch doesn't want any distractions, and I take it that you don't want any distractions for your client as well. That's a pretty significant distraction. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I understand, and that's why I was kind of caught off guard with it myself, so.
It's funny. We just had Jeff Jackson on, and we were talking about Austin Matthews' deal. And you know, there seems to be this thought out there now, Darren, that we're kind of entering this new age of, I mean, I've used the phrase player power. I don't know if that's right, but you certainly, boy, you're certainly getting the impression that players are not afraid to be bold. Maybe more so than at any point I can remember. And, you know, I've been in the media business since 89. Guys aren't afraid to step up and be bold right now. Are we seeing that? And is that something you've had? Is that something agents have noticed that, you know, we're dealing with different guys now than 4 or 5 years ago?
I think it's a different environment too, because we got this salary cap that's really hurting teams, and the cost of doing business is going up like any business. And I think between the escrow and the salary cap, I think it's not productive, in my opinion, for a team or for a player. I think it hurts everybody involved. And, I don't have the solution, but I can tell you this, that I don't believe this, the cap benefits the teams.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I look at this, and again, I sort of come from a baseball background, but I mean, you know, I've always operated under the assumption, hey, I mean, there's two schools of thought. You take the 8-year contract or whatever, if you're injured, you know, you're covered. But man, if I'm a 22, 23 year old guy and I'm having the type of year Mitch is having, or Mitch has had the type of career he's had so far, man, I'm banking on myself. You know what I'm saying? Give me 4 or 5 years. I'll go back as a free agent at 27. Hell yeah! And by that point,
and that may be the end result here. You know, and that's why I'm saying everybody's got to like kind of chill and and just, hey, relax. This is not unusual. There's a lot of RFAs out there that haven't signed. He's not the only one. And nor will he be at the end of the season. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of guys that are going to be available, and how this unfolds is just, you know, there's quite a few good players available right now that are not signed, and I'm sure everybody else who is unsigned is probably saying, hey, we just wait to the end of the season, let's see where everything settles, and see where the market takes us. And then, you know, whatever the fair market value is at that time, I'm sure all those players will be compensated.
There was an article in The Athletic a little earlier this year, talking to Mitch's dad, Paul. You know, the whole idea, look, I think Paul was being a good father and a proud father, as indeed he should be, you know, that, you know, look, Mitch, people talk about the Leafs captaincy, and it's, and I'm paraphrasing Paul here.
Yeah, he was taken out of context, and that was unfair. I thought truly unfair, because, he was talking, hey, why isn't he considered as one of the leaders in this organization? He's, you know, he's definitely one of the most charitable. His selfless acts speak for themselves, and both the father, family, and as a whole, in their charity endeavors, and never once wanting any type of attention. Or, and I'm sure you saw that recently with the stick that he got for the young fellow that was that thing. And, you know, another time he took, you know, even when the cameras aren't on him, I mean, he went down and saw that fellow that came from Kingston with the family with cancer. Like, he wasn't looking for publicity. He's doing this out of his heart. He's a very charitable person himself. And as I said, they're all selfless acts. They're from the whole family. I mean, from his dad works tirelessly with this charity event. And for him to be misquoted there, I think was not really or taken out of context in the quote, is that, hey, it's like any father, right? You know, yes, my son has done well. He should be, you know, should be considered in the leadership group. He wasn't saying, hey, I want my son to be captain.
So what you're telling me is this isn't LeVar Ball.
Yes.
This isn't LeVar Ball.
Exactly. Exactly. I think Paul gets a lot of, you know, bad press for no reason, because I'll tell you, he is a good father. He works closely, as I said, with his son's charity and with his son. And there's nothing wrong with a parent protecting his son. I just find it unusual that people at these young ages are, you know, take a position that, hey, you can't be there, you know, making comments of, or defending your son in any shape or form. So.